Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what befalls him, no matter what afflicts that servant, he execute handling that thing the way Allah has commanded. No matter how difficult the situation is or how hard it is, like some of the salaf, they used to deal with affairs and look forward to the difficult decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend upon them. Because the reward that they will receive for what befall them made them forget the hardship of what befall them. Because they responded to that thing in a manner Allah has legislated. Because they realize Allah owns them and owns what they have. And whatever he afflicted with him, what? It came from his hikmah, from his wisdom. Like, this is the believer. This is the Abdullah. This is the Amatullah. This is the male and female servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He deals with his affairs in this fashion. So, this is the Salafi, Al-Haqiqi. This is the one who adheres to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is upon us to be in the same fashion and not to let our knowledge that we may have, we look at that knowledge itself to determine the worth of us, but not you executing the knowledge to be the worth, the determination of your worth. Your actions, when you look at your actions, weigh it to your knowledge. هل أنا أعمل بعلمي? Do I implement my knowledge? That's why the Prophet ﷺ used to make dua, Allahumma allimni man yanfa'uni. Oh Allah, teach me that which benefit me. وَانْفَعْنِ بِمَا عَلَمْتَنِي. And benefit me with that which you have taught me. Like, this is the servant. That's ilmu nafi'. That's beneficial knowledge. Not information that we got in our head that's not upon our limbs and not executed in our houses and upon our masajid and with our brothers. Because Allah will not raise you with that information, but he will elevate you with that information when you practice that information. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا ولكنه أخلد إلى الأرض واتبع هواه فمثله كمثل الكلب إن تحمل عليه يلهث أو تتركه يلهث. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, he says, and recite upon them the news of those whom we have given them our lessons, verses, and signs, and they renegated from it. They exited themselves from it, meaning they didn't practice it. They didn't implement it. And then Shaitan followed behind them and caused them to follow their whims and desires. And they became ghaween. They went astray. وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا. But Allah Ta'ala says, if he wanted, he could have elevated those individuals with those verses, signs, and lessons. But he did not do so. وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. But that individual, what he did, however, what he did was, he come close to the earth as if he's going to pull up a dog. If you carry it, or if you don't, or if you leave the dog, يَلْحَفْ, it's still... Usually you think they do it when they're tired. No, they do it no matter what. Likewise, this person who's following his desires, no matter what you say to him, he still stays on what he's on because his knowledge hasn't benefited him. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says about this ayah, the portion of the verse, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا, that if we willed, we would have raised them with this knowledge. قَالَ فَأَخْبَرَ سُبْحَانَهُ أَنَّ الرِّفْعَةَ عِنْدَهُ لَيْسَ بِمُجَرِّدِ الْعِلْمِ, that Allah the glorified, the one far from imperfection, is informing that elevation and being raised up with him is not for having soul knowledge only, but the sake of just having knowledge. وَإِنَّمَا هِيَ بِاتِّبَاعِ الْحَقِّ وَإِثَارَهُ وَقَصْدِ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. He said, but however, He only raises based upon the individual following that truth and preferring it over anything else. And seek and that individual, he makes a decision to seek the contentment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the Abdullah. Because really, brothers, never ever befalls the community or any people, any trial or tribulation, but it is because of our sins, our disobedience. As Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, ما نزل بلاء إلا بذنب ولا رفع إلا بتوبة. That never does befall a trial or tribulation, or the sins of trial or tribulation, except because of a sin that is committed, and is never lifted except with repentance. That's why Hassan al-Basri, when the people wanted to renegade against the ruler and revolt against the ruler, he said, how y'all going to change a punishment of Allah with your knives and your forks and your sticks and your swords? How are you going to change a punishment? I'll talk about Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. How? He said the change is not hahuna, but akinnahu hahuna. He said the change isn't here, but it is here from above the heavens. With repentance to Allah, with returning back to knowledge, honoring it, giving it high esteem, seeking to practice it and implement it. This is how change take effect. ذلك بأن الله لم يكن مغيرا نعمة. That Allah is not going to change a bounty that He's bestowed upon a people. حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. Till they first change that which is within them. The fitna we see with the Salafis is only because of the sins of the Salafis. No other reason. As my Sheikh always says to us, if we were obedient to Allah, all of us, we wouldn't even see no fitna. Because that's how Allah Ta'ala, he brings bounty with obedience. But sins brings chastisements and trials and tribulations like this. And sins kills your heart. Well, you're not affected by knowledge anymore. You're not affected by its call. That's why one of the Salaf said, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he says, Ra'aita dhunuba tumitul quluba. That I saw that sins does nothing but kills the heart. وَقَدْ يُورِثُ الذِّلْ إِدْمَانُهَا. And that being consistent and habitual on sins does nothing but cause one to inherit humiliation. وَتَرْكُ الذُّنُوبِ حَيَاتُ الْقُلُوبِ. And banning of sins gives life to the heart. وَخَيْرٌ لِنَفْسِكَ عِصْيَانُهَا. And it is better for yourself that you have disobeyed sins and disobedience. Like this, brothers and sisters in Islam. Here we living in a land of kufr. You live in a land that we know, no doubt, that is one of the worst places to live on the earth when it comes to disobedience of Allah. A place where it's customary to see Allah disobeyed. It's normal to see sin. So what happened? Because of tafashi munkarat, the constant spread of these evils, لا تؤثر في القلوب. It don't have no effect on your heart where you hate it anymore. So it's easy to flick the television on. It's easy to listen to the music. You stop doing like the Salaf, you put your fingers in your ears when you hear the music coming by. You don't even repent no more when you see sin and disobedience and you looking at it or you hear it. We lost this. So it's upon you, brothers, as the ulama have said, make harb bil fawahish, make wage war on wickedness and disobedience. Meaning wage war on it within your heart and your limbs to stay away from it, to hate it, to warn against it. Like this. You have to, especially in this society. And your children should see this from us. How else would they take it serious? Some of the Salaf did this to the extent, as some of the ulama have mentioned, that disobedience stayed away from them. Disobedience stayed away from them. Like narrated by Imam Ahmed, that when he came to remove a jinn from an individual, as he walked up, the jinn spoke to him in that person who was possessed. He said, I'm leaving because I've been informed that you are one of the most obedient on the earth, so that which on the earth should obey you, so he left. Or the statement of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, that whenever he would walk on the side of the street and the shaitan was there, he would cross the street. Sin stayed away from them. So if we did the same thing, wage war on the disobedience of Allah, And I don't mean wage war like the Coatis, where we go killing people and harming people. I don't mean like that. But wage war on it where you understanding the reality of his wickedness. Wage war on it where you hate it like you hate being thrown into a fire. Wage war on it where you stay so far distant away from it, you even stay distant from the doubtful matters that may lead to it. This is the war we're talking about. Then you'll see your children doing the same or staying distant from it. Like this. This is where our success lies. This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us what we need. And these affairs are from the affairs that will give us the clear signs of our hearts. The salamatul sadr, the soundness, and the correctness of our breasts being on what's correct. Understanding who is the best from amongst us, from the worst from amongst us. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that's narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi, Sheikh al-Albani, authenticated, but the Prophet ﷺ, he said, on the authority of Abu Huraira, Ala ukhbirukum bi khayrikum min sharrikum. Shall I not inform you of who is the best of you from the most evilest of you? So the companions was quiet. And the Prophet repeated it three times. Then a man said, Bala ya Rasul, of course, O Messenger of Allah. Inform us of who is the best of us from the evilest of us. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Khayrukum man yurja khayruhu wa yu'manu sharruhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best of you are those who his good is always hoped for. People hope to see his good, and they are safe from his evil. Wa sharrukum man la yurja khayruhu wa la yu'manu sharruhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say, and the evilest amongst you are the ones who his good is never hoped from him. We never expect good from this individual. Nor of the people feel safe from his evil. That's why the Prophet, when he said, Ahabbin nasi ilallah, that the most beloved of the people to Allah, and fa'ahum lin nas, are those who are most beneficial to the people. Wa la yuja anfa'u mimman da'a ila tawheed wa nabdh shirk. And there's no one more better than an individual, or better than an individual who calls the people to tawheed and the importance of singling out Allah alone for worship and eradicate shirk and warn against it and innovation. These are the best of the people. That's why the ulama are the warathatul anbiya. They are the inheritors of the Prophet alayhim salatu wassalam. So this is important for us to understand, that we understand the reality of ourselves. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the same token, he has informed us that this evil type of low base character, where people feel like that about you, man, they see you, oh man, he's coming with no good. I don't feel safe from his evil. Let's hurry up and find out how to get away from this brother. That this type of low character, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said this is going to befall his ummah. This type of evilness with transgression and will befall the ummah of Muhammad. As the Prophet says, Sayusibu ummati da'ul umam, that will befall my nation the disease of all the other nations. Qalu ma da'ul umam ya Rasulullah, what is the disease of the nations, O Messenger of Allah? And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-ashru wal-bataru wal-takathuru wal-tashahunu fi dunya wal-tabaghudu wal-tahasadu hatta yakuna al-baghyu. Hatta yakuna al-baghyu. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered, what is the disease of all the nations that were before Muhammad's nation? And that's definitely these times. That is the arrogant, boastful, rejecter of the truth. The one who likes to compile or pile up the worldly life, and has and those who have they mutually compete with piling up the dunya, those who have hatred and rancor in this life, and hate and jealousy with one another until it leads to transgressing against each other. So this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, and when you come out of this month of Ramadan, that month of Ramadan, that we should have come out of this month of Ramadan being our heart being free from these type of affairs. And we have in Salama to Sadr, our breasts being safe, sound, meaning from shirk, from bid'ah, from ma'asi. Illa lamam, our hearts be free from sin, disobedience, and evil deeds, except the small minor ones that we slip into and we quickly change and repent for. That this is important because having a sound breast is the path to the Jannah. As Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ, except the one who has come to Allah, بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, with that sound, guarded, protected, safe heart. This is the path to the Jannah. And we want to end our talk with this tremendous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that shows us the importance of having a sound breast, a healthy heart, having a clean soul. That is from the fruits of true iman in Allah Ta'ala. Al-iman is sadiq. Al-adhi yaqoodu sahibahu ila jannah. The heart that drives and leads the one who possessed this sound heart to the paradise. An Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala. On authority of Anas ibn Malik, he said, and this hadith, by the way, brothers, is narrated narrated by Imam Ahmed, and he has authenticated this hadith on the conditions it meet the conditions of Bukhari and Muslim, and also the many scholars who corrected the Musnad of Imam Ahmed have said this, that the Prophet Anas ibn Malik, he said, قَالَ كُنَّ جُلُوسًا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, that one day we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَالَ, he said to us, يَطْلُعُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْآنَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, that is about to appear before you a man right now, a man who is from the inhabitants of paradise. فَطَلَعَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْأَنصَارِ تَمْطُفُ لِحْيَتُهُ مِّنْ وُدُوئِهِ وَقَدْ تَعَلَّقَ نَعْلَيْهِ فِي يَدِهِ الشِّمَالِ, he said, it then appeared suddenly a man who was from amongst the Ansar, the helpers, those who were from Medina, who helped the Muhajireen, the migrators, Prophet, those who from Mecca migrate with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that his beard, that he was pulling from his beard, from his wudu, because water falling down from it. And so the man was also carrying, or had tied next to him on his left hand, or holding in his left hand, his shoes. فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْغَدْ, and so this man, when the next day came, قال النبي, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ, the same thing, about to appear upon you right now, a man who is from the people of paradise. فَطَلَعَ ذَلِكَ رَجُلٌ, that same man came in the masjid. That came in, like he did the first time, when the Prophet said it to him, said that about him the day before, or the yesterday. فَلَمَّا كَانَ يَوْمَ الثَّالِثِ, so when the third day came, قال النبي, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مِثْلَ مَقَالَتِهِ أَيْضًا, the same statement, about to appear upon you right now, a man who is from the people of paradise. فَطَلَعَ ذَلِكَ رَجُلٌ, and then that man, that same man appeared. عَلَى مِثَالِ حَالِهِ الْأُولَى, in the same state that he was in the first time when he appeared. فَلَمَّ قَامَ النَّبِيُّ, and well, so when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood and left, تَبِعَهُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ عَمْرِ إِبْنِ الْعَاصِ, the man was followed by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. فقال, and he said, Amr ibn al-As to the man, he says, إِنِّي لَحَيْتُ أَبِي, يعني خاسمته, فَأَقْسَمْتُ أَلَّا أَدْخُلَ عَلَيْهِ ثَلَاثًا, he said, that I argued with my father. He said to the man that the Prophet said this about, because the man didn't hear the Prophet say this about him. Because remember, he said it before he entered. So he said to the man, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he said, indeed, I had argued with my father, and I swore that I will not enter upon his house or upon him for 3 days. فَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ أَنْ تُؤْوِيَنِي إِلَيْكَ حَتَّى تَمْدِيَ فَعَلْتُ. قَالَ نَعَمْ, he said to the man, if you will give me shelter for those 3 days until I complete it, I would be, you know, he would appreciate it. The man said, no problem. Yes, you can stay. Qala Anas. So Anas said, the narrator of the hadith, radiallahu anhu, فَكَانَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يُحَدِّثُ أَنَّهُ بَاتَ مَعَهُ تِلْكَ الْلَيَالِ الثَّلَاثِ. That Anas ibn Malik said, Abdullah spent with this man. He began to discuss with the night that he spent, the three nights that he spent with this man to me. فَلَمْ يَرَهُ يَقُومُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ شَيْئًا. And he didn't see this man stand up in the night and pray قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ, the night prayer, whatsoever. غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ إِذَا تَعَارَّ يعني إِسْتَيْقَضَ تَقَلَّبَ عَلَى فِرَاشِهِ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَكَبَّرَ حَتَّى يَقُومَ لِصَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ. And this man, he said, only thing I did see him do was that when he would wake up, he would turn on the side of his bed and he would remember Allah Azza wa Jal and he would say Allahu Akbar until he went to pray the prayer of Fajr. قال عبد الله غير أني لم أسمعه يقول إلا خيرا. He said, other than also, only thing, I didn't see the man do nothing except that he would always speak good. He never said anything bad. فلما مضت الثلاث ليال الليال كدت أن أحتقر عمله. He said, when those 3 days had passed, or those 3 nights had passed, I was about to disdain his actions. Meaning, you know, this man, what is he? How is he of the people of paradise? What is he doing different from, I don't see him doing nothing like nobody, somebody who would give me an indication that he's of the people of paradise. That's what that means. فقلتُ, so I said to the man, Ya Abdullah, O Abdullah, إني لم يكن بيني وبين أبي غضب ولا هجر. He said, indeed, there was not between me and my father any rage or anger or boycotting. That really never happened. ولكني سمعت رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul. He said, but however, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, ثلاثة مرارا, 3 times. يتلو عليكم الآن رجل من أهل الجنة. That will appear in front of you, about to appear in front of you right now, a man from the inhabitants of paradise. فطلعت, and then you appear. أنت ثلاثة مرارا. You appear all 3 of those times. فأردت أن آوي إليك. And I wanted to stay with you, لِأَنْظُرَ عَمَلَكَ, so that I can see whatever action that you are doing, فَأَقْتَدِي بِي, until I'm able to imitate and do the same thing you was doing, so I could be of the people of paradise. فَلَمْ أَرَكَ تَعْمَلُ كَثِيرَ عَمَلًا. And I didn't see you do a lot of actions or deeds. فَمَا الَّذِي بَلَغَ بِكَ مَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So what is the thing that caused you to reach the point that the Messenger of Allah said this about you? What are you doing? فقالت, so the man responded, ما هو إلا, that I don't do anything except, ما رأيت غير أني لا أجد في نفسي لأحد من المسلمين غشا ولا أحسد أحدا على خير أعطاه الله إياه. He said, you haven't seen me do anything other than the fact I do not find within myself for any Muslim, any person from the Muslims, any hatred, any jealousy upon anyone, right? Except I think good upon them. That Allah, I think good upon that which Allah has given them. Qala Abdullah, so Abdullah said, هذه التي بلغت بك هي التي لا نطيقها. He said, Abdullah said to him, that this is the thing that caused you to reach that level that we are not able to achieve. That we are not able to achieve. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he says about this in Majmu' al-Fatawa. He says, وَقَوْلُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ عَمَرٍ لَهُ هَذِهِ الَّتِي بَلَغَتْ بِكَ وَهِيَ الَّتِي لَا نُطِيقُ يُشِيرُ إِلَى خُلُوِّهِ وَسَلَامَتِهِ مِنْ جَمِيعِ أَنْوَاعِ الْحَسَدِ. He says, Ibn Taymiyyah, the statement of Abdullah ibn Amr to that man, and when he said to him, this is the thing that caused you to reach that level that the Prophet said that about you that we are not able to do. He said, Ibn Taymiyyah, that this is Abdullah ibn Amr is indicating this man's heart being completely free and sound and safe from all types of envy and jealousy in his heart for anyone. For this, as the Salaf has mentioned, that envy and jealousy is wanting to see a bounty that Allah bestowed upon someone to cease, to be removed from that particular individual. And this is something that it is important for us to avoid, because jealousy and envy, it doesn't lead to nothing good. It doesn't lead to nothing good for no one, but rather it leads to destruction for this ummah, or for the individual who has that envy in his breast for his brother, or his brother in the religion of Islam. So that, therefore, it shows that it's important for all of us that we avoid these affairs that can destroy our hereafter. Because one of the things what lead an individual to jealousy and envy of another individual is when you're a person that have love of being famous or being known, or you having love in your heart of leadership and being over the people, that leads you to having envy with one another. This is why Fudayl, and this in reality is a chronic disease that is a disease that is very dangerous, and it destroys communities. Because listen to the statement of Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He says, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَحَبَّ الرِّيَاسَةِ أَحَبَّ الرِّيَاسَةِ إِلَّا حَسَدَ وَبَغَى وَتَتَبَّعَ عُيُوبَ النَّاسِ وَكَرِهَ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ أَحَدٌ بِخَيْرٍ. And I want us to hear this tremendous statement. Fudayl ibn Iyad, the man who has similar backgrounds as many of us had. He was a womanizer. He was a thief. He was so well known as a thief that some of the people in the past used to use his name like our parents used to hear the boogeyman, to make their children be scared and go to bed. They used to use his name to frighten people. This is how notorious he was. And then Allah Ta'ala guided him to repent from that evil. And he not only repented and used the cure of the book of Allah and the son of his messenger, removed that evil from his breast, that it not only cured him, but it made him a better man than he ever was in his life. That he said in this tremendous statement of his, he said, there's not anyone who loves leadership except that he will be envious of others and will transgress against others, and he will follow up the faults of the people. He will hate that anyone be mentioned about them any good whatsoever. And we all know the famous statement about how the slaves used to be, our ancestors, many of us. That old crab in the barrel concept, that's all he's mentioning. Don't want to see nobody achieve something greater than them. This is the case of the one who wants to keep their status. If they see somebody in that status that they achieve, who raised above them in that particular thing, they want to see the isqat of that person. They want to see that person fall and not get anywhere. So they will follow up on their fault, place it on the internet, go to the ulama and spread their evil and what they're upon, never ever to advise that individual, because they're afraid that they may lose their status, their position, because someone more knowledgeable than them will take their place. They're afraid of this. That's why they don't like to mention any good about those individuals. That's why when you go to these type of individuals, akhi, subhanAllah, did you advise him? Or you try to make excuses, he throw away all your excuses. That joker ain't no good. Hatta ummi, to the point even his mother isn't no good. And this is something, brothers, that's serious, that destroys the qalb. It destroys the heart. So life after Ramadan is a life that we should be free from this. We have repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from these evils, purifying ourselves from them, and loving each other for the sake of Allah, helping one another upon this tremendous da'wah to Salafiyah, spreading it. Because it's terrible when the da'wah is in a situation where we don't have schools, where our children can go to those schools. And I can tell, I'm from here, born and raised Muslim. And I've never seen any of the Muslim schools. Your child will go to that school from kindergarten to 12th grade, graduate from those schools, he can speak Arabic fluently, or be a hafiz of Quran. I haven't seen it yet on the East Coast. I haven't seen it. But rather, I've seen children graduate from these schools, he barely may know Jew's Amma. He only know a few Arabic phrases. How in the world is that possible? A Muslim school? He's supposed to be learning Islam? Except that we found these schools focus on their secular education greater than their deen. Why? Because knowledge has lost its value in our qulub, in our hearts. We're more so concerned about who's on it and off it. Not concerned about who's on it, who's adhering to the proper methodology, who producing what is this ilm, knowledge. You go to the lands of the Muslims. Like I know a brother from a country named Ghana that studied with me. And this brother, this country is a Kafir country. 47% is Muslims population. And they have schools where this brother learned in his school. He finished the Quran at 16. Learned the fundamental sciences of Islam and spoke and learned Arabic. Then he went to go study. We can do the same thing. But if we stop being, if we want to be busy with nonsense, then we can never make this type of achievement. But rather we'll be busy about the sins of that one, the sins of this one, out of envy for one another. There's no reason that this da'wah been in this area as long as it has that we don't have a school that's producing children like this. I only know, the only school I know is like that is over there with Fareed Abdullah. The one who some people say about him, he's the only Salafi in his area. He's no different from us. La, la, la. Look at his actions. We ain't, forget about what your mouth is telling me. We look at the actions of one another as we presented earlier. He works at a school who's not ran by people who's on this, who may be Salafi, so I hear. I don't know whether that's true or not. But I know when he took over the Islamic studies program, children graduated from the ninth grade, speaking Arabic fluently, memorizers of the Quran. Where is this at with our children? Then we don't understand why our children is on the streets doing their thing. Better coffee. And this is the reality of us. Where's the so-called imam who take that 10% of the community who want to really learn? And they have learned Ajurumiya off of his hands. They have memorized the Quran off of his hands. They have learned the fundamentals of the religion off of his hands. And he sent them to be the imams of so many Salafi masters that don't even have imams. Where is this? This is what our goal should be, brothers. Not that nonsense. Not that crab in the barrel stuff that slavery taught us, that many of us take Jahwa Ta'dil to justify that type of behavior. Because we really don't understand it, dealing with a science that we ain't qualified to deal with. And this is our deen. All these years, da'wah been here, never seen this type of production coming from us. This is life after Ramadan. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسبحانك وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وسبحانك وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Sorry sisters who sent up the questions, my time is up. Okay, sorry. Said I could take the questions, excuse me.
If anybody has any questions, write them in the paper.
Waqf Deen Muhammad died during the month of Ramadan. Many people in his community and elsewhere believe that that was a sign that he entered Jannah because of that. Is there a certain merit for dying during the month of Ramadan? La. No. Only thing will enter us into paradise is the mercy of Allah, and no one knows that. But we know of no narration saying that dying in the month of Ramadan shows some merit that you're going to paradise. We ask Allah to forgive Muhammad, Waqf Deen Muhammad. If you could commit sins in the month of Ramadan, do the whispers exist or are they from yourself? To answer that question, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the jinns are locked up, it's not all of them. It's only the most mischievous and rebellious of them. The one that is in your body, that flows through your body, that's appointed to you, is still there. But his capability has been decreased because your fasting decreases the flowing of blood through your body. So therefore, it decreases the flowing of the shaitan that's appointed to you through your body. So for this reason, it's easy to do more obedience of Allah as we presented in the presentation we gave. So inshallah ta'ala, it's important for us that we understand that not all of the jinns are locked up, but only those most mischievous. You still have to go through some level of struggle with that jinn that's with you and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any other questions? Any questions? What would you say, questions? You only want to rent. Where can I find the statement Allah only accepts from those who has taqwa? It's in the Quran. It's a verse from the Quran. Where's the verse at? Allah musta'an. Give me a moment. I'll get back to you with that, inshallah. You know, you memorize evidences and proof. You sometimes forget where they are. Any other questions? If one misses some days of fasting during Ramadan and wants to fast the 6 days of Shawwal, should one first complete the days missed or fast the 6 days? Imam Muhammad al-Shanqiti, Amin al-Shanqiti, says in explaining this issue, and all the ulama explains that first, that which is obligatory precedes a voluntary aspect of worship. That you should first make up your days of Ramadan and then do the days of Shawwal. But if you fear, the ulama also say, if you fear that you will miss the 6 days of Shawwal and making up your days of Ramadan, that you can first fast the 6 days of Shawwal and then make up your days under this circumstance. Allahu ta'ala. Waalaikum salam. Taqwa? Tahqiq? I'm not understanding. Sorry. It could be possibly a couple words that you're pronouncing because you're kind of mixing up a little bit. Mamluk, that means owned and possessed, meaning by Allah. It's from the word milk, which means ownership. Mamluk is majhul, yani meaning you've been possessed, you're being owned. Nah. You said, maybe you mean the word maqhur? I don't remember. Yeah, taqi is the person who has taqwa of Allah. Taqi. That's taqwa is fear of Allah. Taqi is a person who has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that all right? That's the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim. You can find it in Dawa Dawa. That book is translated. Which is disease and its cure. You have the whole book translated by Firdaus. And then you have a Mukhtasar, an abridged version of it, done by, I forgot the production name, but our brother Abu Ali and his production company had translated that. But that book is available, alhamdulillah. But it's in that. He talks in detail about the effects, the harms of sins. And these are of the ones he mentioned. No. Okay, fadda. Yeah, no, he said, you have destroyed all of my good. Meaning, the good that he thought about for himself, he made him made all of that have no value after him making that statement to him. And this book is in Sheikh Al-Islam's explanation. This statement, I read it for the first time in a book written by Sheikh Al-Islam that he explained, the book of Muhammad Abdul Wahab called Wajib al-Abd Idha Amarahu Bil Amr, the obligation of the servant when Allah commands him with a commandment. In this book, he mentions these affairs. It's not in English, but however, in the masjid in Wilkes-Barre, we've done that. We translated that whole book on tape, and we printed out the translation of the original book, not the explanation, but written translation of the original, because Sheikh Marcelin explained the original book. So the original book is by Muhammad Abdul Wahab. We translated that book. And the explanation that came from us, from Sheikh Al-Islam, I translated, and you can ask the masjid for those tapes, inshallah. There's some brothers here who are from the masjid in Wilkes-Barre. I don't know where they are, but they're here. I'm sorry, Fadla. No, you have, the paradise have seven levels. That's what it's referring to. And they all have a distance of like 500 years between each one, as one of the narrations have mentioned. But that's what that's referring to. Like this, they say that this, where we at, is a part of the lowest heaven. It's a part of it. And then you go to the first heaven, like that. Father. Yes, same thing. That's all that is inclusive to the paradise. Inshallah. Well, these are, I have two. Aren't some tests and tribulations to test your faith, not necessarily from sin? Tests and trials from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are done for two various reasons. Of them is because of your sins, so that you can repent. And sometimes it's also to test your faith. But the solution for both cases is the same. Repentance, returning back to Allah, rectifying your fears. Because today, we are unable to determine. We have so many sins with us today, we can't look at what sin caused this trial. So the solution is the same. Whereas the Salaf, they used to have so few sins, and when something had befall them, they were able to direct what sin they did caused that particular affair to happen to them. May Allah help us. Can you explain? Oh, Jah wa ta'. Okay. Can you explain Jah wa ta'deel? I think she's trying to say. And your statement about us resembling them. I don't understand the question really, but Jah wa ta'deel is a science in Islam, an independent science in the religion of Islam related to the chains of hadith and the narrators. And those individuals who are repudiated and refuted, and it's not permissible to take their narrations. And also those who are permissible to take, we praise those who it is permissible to take from their narrations. But the science of Jahwa Ta'dil is related to that. And you have scholars who are specialists in it. And what I was mentioning in regards to that, that many people, or there are people who use this science who really don't understand it, to refute people who's from Ahl Sunnah so that they won't be taken from. And that this is not from our religion. Inshallah, if we speak tomorrow, we're going to mention some points about that. Inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu fiki. If your child is in puberty and doesn't fast during Ramadan, can you make him? Fasting in Ramadan is obligatory upon the person once they reach the age of puberty, or once they reach puberty. And that's either them by being 15 years old, or having pubic hairs, or them having a wet dream, or by a girl having menses. But this is the sign that an individual has reached the age of puberty. Now, a person who's under your care, you should order them with fasting. It's obligatory for you to order them with fasting. As the Prophet and the Sahaba used to make their children fast even before age of puberty, so that they can train them upon fasting. This is why you should not wait until they hit puberty to fast. but you should order your children with fasting before the age of puberty. And that the Selah used to do this so much that when their children would cry, that they would give them toys to distract them till it was time to break fast like this. So yes, you should order your children, but oftentimes you wait till puberty is kind of difficult. We should do this with our children before they reach the age of puberty. And that was the end of our questions. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum.